Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Setters, our fabulous producer. We always appreciate all of his hard work. He's going to take care of the archive. When this interview is over, it really is just moments later. It pops up on the WKOK podcast page, so you can check that out. In the studio with us now, Samantha Pearson is back. We've been having regular conversations with her about all things that relate to motoring safety and driving safely and jogging safely, I guess, along roadways and biking. And the Walk It, Bike It coordinator she is, and that's a division of the Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation. She's also the Elm Street manager. Welcome back, Samantha.
Good to be here, Mark.
Really, I do appreciate you coming in all the time. And Andrew Miller is back, executive director of the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau. We've talked to him about 100 things in the past. I think one of the most recent one was the funnest, where we talked about the beer trail, where I have not done the whole trail in one day, but I have been to every stop individually.
All right.
one day, one stop, okay? I want to be clear about that. But welcome back, sir.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back.
I really do appreciate you coming in. Okay, so let's remind folks what Walk It, Bike It Lewisburg is. I think it's always good to do that.
Sure, Mark. So Walk It, Bike It Lewisburg works to encourage and improve walking and biking in the Lewisburg area and just the general region. So that's our general mission, and we work towards that through advocacy, awareness, and promoting different improvements.
All right, and making sure that all of this is brought up and talked about, I think at municipal planning meetings or maybe a PennDOT meeting or something like that, people can say, okay, well, we got to get cars from point A to point B, and we got to make sure they got a place to park, blah, 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 car, car, car. But you got to make sure that all modes of transportation are brought up and talked about.
That's true. And so, in fact, we promote something called Complete Streets, which is a national movement, but, PennDOT has had trainings on it, and we've worked both locally in the region and at the state level trying to make sure our roads really do function for everyone.
Right, and walking is a part of that. So we have talked about pedestrian safety and crossing and pedestrian interests and walking places and biking to work. We've done segments related to that, so all of that. And I always think around here we're really lucky and we're really unlucky. You know, we're lucky that all of this, we really have a good set of infrastructure and resources around here. Sometimes it's hard to get the topic to really stick, so I think it kind of both happens.
Well, and in fact, that's one reason I wanted to have Andrew Miller here talking about this, is just explaining that we're lucky. Where we live is actually an amazing amenity from a walking and biking standpoint. And a lot of people are used to just hearing, oh, we need these improvements, we need these improvements. But I think people don't understand that there's also a great amount of appreciation just for the natural beauty here, the easy access from town to countryside, and the ability to get up into our state forests and mountains.
Right. If you want to get from town to country in Lewisburg, you just cross Fairground Road and there you go.
Pretty much.
It's done.
Or the river.
Well, Andrew, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau, a reminder on it's just how comprehensive that organization
okay.
is.
We represent and promote Snyder, Northumberland, and Union County as a destination, and that is everything from amenities, attractions, dining, restaurants, events, quality of life. We work with the HR departments to help promote the quality of life and recruitment. So it's everything you can think of that would draw people to come to the area. We have our big attractions that you'd think of. Then we also have culture and history. We have, arts, history and heritage, a lot of cultural events. It's, kind of just telling our story. And believe it or not, the most recent economic impact report from 2016 that the state does, visitor spending in the Tri-County area was $387 million.
All right, so it's just fabulous. You always think of Canobos, but there's a lot of big organizations around here that are drawing kind of visitors. And when you talk visitor, I may think, okay, well, I have somebody, a relative or somebody who comes and visits our area, but visitors involves me, tourism in my area. It involves people that come here for something else but have a couple of days to spend and do other things.
Yeah, you have people that come here for business meetings, so they're not necessarily a tourist, but they're experiencing the area, staying overnight and spending money, which is great. Then because we're a big area, you know, we promote backyard tourism to residents to get out and explore what they have in their own backyard, because you tend to be a little, you know, it tends to be invisible for you if you've lived here. You don't really, you know, pay much attention about it. But then between the two universities and with, you know, Knoebels and everything else, and one of the biggest segments that we're seeing grown in the area is outdoor recreation.
Right, and the trap shoots. You just talked about
that. The trap shoots, AOAA, you know, now we're getting into cycling tourism, mountain biking, motorcycling. It's, you know, canoeing, kayaking. It's taking off.
All right, so that sets the scene for us to talk about the impact of bicycle tourism locally.
Right, and part of this is trying to explain to people, many people who live in our area, when I come on with walking and biking, I will hear from people like, oh, I heard you waxing rhapsodic about crosswalks again, you know, on the radio, but they don't, it doesn't really connect to them because they don't think it's relevant to them. And I think this is really a way in for a lot of people here, especially people who will never get on a bike themselves or see themselves as a pedestrian, even though pretty much everyone at some point is a pedestrian. You have to get to your car. So most of us are pedestrians. And actually, wheelchair riders are pedestrians. If you ride in a wheelchair, you're using sidewalks, you are part of that circulation network, just to clarify. But the issue is that people who don't think of themselves as riding or riding a bike or walking much don't think that promoting walking and biking in our area is good for them. And explaining how economic development can actually be driven in part by biking and improving biking infrastructure, and not just physical improvements, but cultural improvements. You can understand that even if you never got on a bike, you should be thrilled to see all the bikes. That this represents basically an economic infusion for the area.
And has some of your work talking about biking and biking to work, has some of that paid off? Have you had people say, okay, well, that reestablished it as top of the mind that I could bike to work? And guess what? In June and July, I did that a couple of times.
Well, that's a good question. I don't have any, causal, direct evidence that we did X and this, therefore this happened. At the same time, we are getting, in spite of all the trucks going down Market Street, people saying, wow, people are really stopping for us at the crosswalks. It doesn't mean everyone assumes everyone stops, but it does seem to be happening more than it did 10 years ago. So is that just general changes, or is it us putting up yield to pedestrian signs, doing a lot of public education? It's hard to say, but I think people are getting the idea, and they're appreciating the idea that this applies to the landscape they inhabit.
And Andrew, you're hearing, same question, you're hearing sort of anecdotal reports that biking is one of the activities that folks did when they visited here, whether it's on a rail trail or just to get around or to go to the outdoor adventure area, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, when I did my research, cycling and cycling tourism is one of the fastest growing segments of the tourism industry. And I think, and I'm confident that we've seen an increase in more cyclists in the area. And when you look at the demographic of cycling tourists and what it is they like to do and who they are, they tend to be around 52. They have great disposable income. They're living the best, you know, the best lives that they have. Cycling is something that they really enjoy. And they tend to have a slower pace when they're on vacation. So when they're doing a trip with their cycles and want to explore the area, they are looking at the natural amenities, the scenic beauty. They tend to stay longer. They're not in a rush. They're on bicycles, you know. And they love smaller communities. They love finding, you know, interesting towns. They tend to shop local. They want to have shopping that is unique, not a cookie cutter. So when you look at everything we have available, and then you add the other outdoor amenities that they tend to like, everything from bird watching to kayaking, what we have, you know, pretty much has been by default part of our area to begin with. So we're primed for attracting this audience. And then with the Unpaved event that we had last October, we became a national event that attracted, you know, great athletes from all over the U.S. who ended up coming here and falling in love with the place. And with word of mouth being the new social media, that's really what our goal is. So, you know, our plan really is to turn not only, Lewisburg with this particular event, but the whole county, the Tri-County area, into a cycling tourism destination.
What should we do, Samantha?
Well, just again, first thing is to recognize this. So
yes.
Andrew mentioned Unpaved. Last year it brought 600 riders plus the people who came with them.
Yes.
And this year that's scheduled to grow some.
They're planning on 800.
800, and that's 800 riders.
Right.
And they have an all-day event, so in general, they're coming for at least one night, if not multiple nights. We're trying to promote them coming for multiple nights and really make a trip of it, and trying to also get out there what they could do while they're here. But I think it is really important, again, for us to think about this, even if it's unfamiliar. I mean, Andrew and I have been exchanging, you know, emails and links about this stuff for a while and discussing it. In looking at all the resources he's been doing research on, I'm realizing that while I have ridden for transportation my whole life, I've also been a bicycle tourist in many places and in many ways.
Elsewhere,
yes.
Didn't you ride across Europe or something?
No. I did ride across Massachusetts, though.
There you go.
It's much smaller.
And closer.
Yes. I have done bicycle tourism in the Netherlands, which is sort of like going to, you know, the promised land for bicycles. But there's all these websites about bicycle touring. They call it hybrid touring, where you stay in hotels and eat at restaurants. You're not just camping everywhere. People carry your luggage for you. That's a nice one.
You mean from stop to stop?
From stop to stop.
Okay.
Exactly. It gets transported. I mean, those are options. Or you can camp and carry your luggage. One of the really basic things they point out is, if I drive 200 miles in a car, I get in the car, gas up, maybe stop one place for a bite to eat and land at my destination. If I go that same, or if I also travel 200 miles by bike, I probably won't take the same road. I will probably take 4 days, have multiple overnights, eat 12 plus meals, all in the local economy. And now it is critical that you would probably take a different road. What kinds of roads? You wouldn't take 80 if you were on the bike. You'd take 192 and 45,
right,
and the little roads in between. And you would end up at all of our little hamlets.
Yep.
And you'd be like, wow, this is cool. Look at the Buffalo Valley Rail Trail. This is amazing landscape. This is like picture postcard. Every second, like every single frame of the video you're taking is a picture postcard.
All right, we're going to keep making sure that all of this is top of the mind to folks, the idea for them to do around here, if you're listening and you live around here, what you can do, what municipalities can do, and what we can do to sort of nurture, sort of grease the skids up, make sure that individuals who come to our area with a bicycle are made welcome, and signage assists them, and maps exist, and everybody who they encounter says, oh yeah, you get on that trail by going down this street, and maybe what, you know, what Sunbury can do, what Northumberland can do, what Seals Grove can do, and so on, to sort of nurture the bicycle travel. We are talking to the Walk It, Bike It coordinator, Samantha Pearson, and Andrew Miller's here from the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau.
News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. Always thanking Rob Setter, fabulous producer, and Mr. Matt Catrillo, who's the clackety clacker in chief in the newsroom, and he is taking good care of traffic. He's monitoring that. Just the usual slow spots around here, starting to gum up in front of the schools in Sealands Grove, Front Street to Sunbury and the Priestley and Edison Bridges, Route 54 eastbound in Riverside and Sunbury Road, and Route 11 northbound trying to get past the middle school there. We have guests in the studio. Samantha Pearson is here, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation, Elm Street Manager, Walk It, Bike It Coordinator, and Andrew Miller, Executive Director of the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau. What do we need to do? We are talking bicycling, welcoming bicyclists, making sure that bicyclists come here, and they already are. What do we already know, and what do we need to do?
Sure, Mark. And so beyond just understanding what the advantages to us are, we need to think about what those bikes need. And it goes from the really concrete stuff, like just looking at the conditions on our roads, and that's everything from understanding that on a chip and seal road, cyclists may have less secure riding, cornering, because the surface is really rough, depending on when the treatment was actually most recently done. We may need to work on rumble strips. Rumble strips are used to help keep drivers from you know, straying into another lane. When they're on center lines, they can actually help cyclists realize that cars are coming or approaching, especially if they're passing properly and crossing the center line as needed. But if they are in the bike, the shoulder or an area where a bike might be riding, bikes are not required to ride on the shoulder, by the way, but if they are on the shoulder, rumble strips can be dangerous for cyclists unless they're bike-friendly rumble strips, which would have gaps so that they can cross back and forth and are slightly shallower. And PennDOT knows that. PennDOT's all very aware of that. We should have signage that helps people know. We're actually at a crossroads of two major cross-state bike routes. Those are bike routes for experienced long-distance cyclists, but we also need to welcome them into our place and to help other people know what the amenities that are here are and how to get to them.
Places they can roll in, kind of thing?
Yeah, roll into, or it could be everything from just knowing the rail trail is there and the Bald Eagle State Forest isn't far, that far beyond, or it could be that we have businesses that, you know, welcome cyclists staying overnight. They might have bike storage, things like that. The last sort of really physical thing we need is to make sure we look at our road debris situation. Often there'll be debris on the road exactly where the bikes are. And that's like everything from, you know, broken glass and anti-skid to dead animals and plastic bottles. You know, it's just sort of piled junk with junk. It's dangerous. It causes damage to the bikes. It can make it hard to maneuver. The bikes will, if there's too much of it, they're going to ride in, you know, more into the road, which they are legally allowed to do anyway. But those are all things we can do sort of at a very physical level. And then we can also be thinking about how we share our space and how we share the place we're in, because we have this wonderful amenity and it's sort of the world's best kept secret, and we want to figure out how to balance our great desirable destination with also letting people know it exists.
Right, exactly. Without over-promoting it.
And without doing some of the things you mentioned, we've already enjoyed some tourism here that was related to bikes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely is increasing. And I'm sure that the listeners would realize, and maybe when they keep their eyes out this spring, I think they'll probably realize that there's more people bringing cycles and cycling on the roads, because I've seen it grow over the years. Interestingly enough, when I did some of my research, you know, one of the questions that came up in a survey was, you know, what would make you stay longer in a place? And the common responses were local shops, water, recreation, and events, which is what we have. And, you know, when they talk about what do you like to do, everything that they like to do, we have. So it's a very easy segue. You know, it's just embracing it, and it's getting the information out to the cyclists and then also to the community to welcome them and realize that what it is, you know, there's a terminology where somebody referred to cycling tourists as wallets on wheels. And I want to break it down that simple. But, you know, when people come in and spend money, that's the positive economic impact that it has.
Well, and if you have to look at them that way to treat them well, I actually don't mind.
It's not a bad trade-off.
So if you think of it that way, and then you pass, you know, we have a 4-foot passing law, but 4 feet even isn't that much. You need to pass a bike by 4 feet when there's time, when there's space, when you have visibility. You may need to cross the yellow line to do so, but only cross the yellow line when it's safe to do so. All of that. Just remember the wallets on wheels line. You know, this is worth it. And similarly, you know, we need to react to pedestrians and actually respond to them, drive such that we can yield to pedestrians in crosswalks. And just little moves like that make where we are that welcoming place that they not only come to, but they come back to.
Absolutely. And one of the things relative to, you know, the experience that they have, because, you know, in terms of creating a destination for cycling, is they want to have, they want to be lured into the area. One of the big lures are authentic communities, which is what we have, and also the sense of adventure, that they're going to have an adventure while we're here. And that I really see the role of the Visitors Bureau is painting that picture of what the adventure and what the experience will be in an authentic community and where you can go. And we're not the experts. So, you know, we're reaching out to cyclists in the area. And there's a lot of them. That's one of the things that I've discovered is there's a lot of routes that people are taking. People just don't know about it. So we want to find out user-generated routes that they're already doing to kind of let that secret out. So it's coming from those that are already on the cycle, not from people who just simply want to promote cycling tourism. So we want to have really relevant information out there so people can come and have their best experience.
Yeah, and think about this. If you were to go visit a town like Lewisburg and never been there before, so you have this plotted out workout route for this event. You're going to ride 120 miles. It's going to loop you out into Bald Eagle State Forest, even into Center County. You know, you get, that's great. What if you stay 3 days? What else do you do? So we're trying to help them understand how they can, you know, discover the river, do other bike routes, maybe go hiking. You know, think about Lewisburg as a base for a series of different outings that would be just under the general umbrella of outdoor recreation.
And how much has this already paid off? People with bicycles came to our area and spent how much money so far?
Well, the numbers that I have, if you're going to look at the unpaved event, which was the gravel event that was held in October that had everything from 30 miles for people that wanted to get into it to 120, you know, for those that were really into it. And you break down the numbers and you're looking at a group of about 600 people, which they brought their families. I mean, there were families with their dogs welcoming people across the finish line because they're training every day. So this is a big deal for them. So they get a lot of support from their family members. So it wasn't just 600 people. But if you look at just the 600 who registered and they stayed for 2 days, you're looking, they brought about $480,000 into the economy over a weekend, which you wouldn't have if they didn't come, if the event wasn't hosted here. And when you look now at 2019, where they want to bring 800 people in, and we're working with the Miller Center and with downtown Lewisburg and with the event producers to try to get them to come Friday and have a Friday night experience and a Saturday and a Sunday, and then they leave on Monday. Now you're talking, if you're talking 3 days, you're talking about $1.4 million into an economy. So, and one of the things that I like about working with these event producers is we're asking them to help identify routes throughout the whole Tri-County area. So it just starts. The train has left, or the bicycle has left the rack, I guess, shall we say, and it's just beginning in terms of what's going on for the region.
Very cute. Nicely done. We are talking about walking and biking around here, specifically biking today with Samantha Pearson, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation, Walk It, Bike It Coordinator. WalkItBikeItLewisburg.org is her website, and Andrew Miller is here, Executive Director of the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau. Of course, always visit CentralPA.org. Same old shtick. You need a new website. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
We've been using that. That's a good one that we've been touting for a long time. All right. So what should we do? Nurture. Make sure that if you have a bed and breakfast, it has roll-in capabilities. And if you are a driver around here, say, oh my gosh, there's a wallet on wheels. Give them wide berth. Or...
Well, and not just that. I mean, that we're saying that in jest, but just understand that they are a vital part of your local economy in a way that you might previously have dismissed them or tried to just get around them as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it even comes down to, and some of this is you don't know unless you know, but we're trying to share this. So, for example, if you never get on a cycle or walk down a sidewalk and you are used to just being in your car, you might think that, oh, I'm going to tap my horn just as a warning. I'm going to, honk to say hi or something. People don't realize if they only honk or hear honks from inside a car that a honk is a really horrible, aggressive thing.
You're on a bike.
When you're on a bike or a pedestrian, if you're right near that, try standing outside your car and have someone honk the horn. Unless you're already deaf, it's really loud. Even just little things like that, horns have a purpose. They're useful just as a general thing, like help them out of control and careening off the road or something like that. But even little things like that, just think about how it is for the person not protected by the vehicle.
All right, so those are some other things. Anything else, sort of the go-to place for information?
To quick build on that, most cyclists understand the dangers around them, so you wouldn't have to beep because they're probably already aware that, traffic plays a big thing. One of the things that the Visitors Bureau is doing is embracing this is we're working in the winter now to basically put together a bicycle tourism roadshow, more or less, where we want to put together an instructional information. We hope that Sam sits on the panel with us and basically go throughout the towns and talk about cycling tourism and the amenities and what to put in place and the simple things, parking for cycles, maybe, cycles to be out of the rain, maybe pumps every so many places in a downtown. Just all, if you're a restaurant, you might want to have brown bags to go to make it easy. Just little things to make people feel welcome.
And you already have a new Central Pennsylvania guide for
yes.
outdoor recreation.
Yep, brand new outdoor recreation guide.
Biking is part of that, and
yes.
it's going to grow as that publication grows.
Yes.
An additional comment, please.
So this is all about sort of this hidden, making the hidden visible for us. So I already give these hidden Lewisburg tours, and this is about, the hidden Susquehanna Valley. We all need to see it with new eyes and sort of see it the way our visitors can and should.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. Walk it, bike it, Lewisburg.org, and visit centralpa.org. We have a CNBC Business Minute in a minute.